Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi guys, Matt here with a super short disclaimer for you. Funny story, just as we were wrapping up this life-changing, filthy, tea-spilling episode, my GarageBand crashed hard and lost all of my audio. Yes, GarageBand, because I'm fancy. Fear not though, because we still had John's audio, and I am a technology genius who was able to manipulate it over the course of many strenuous hours to make my voice just as loud, proud, and gay as John's. Well, most of it anyway. For those odd patches where I couldn't, I had to re-record some of my audio. Hashtag voiceover challenge. Honestly, we're talking like 70% old audio, 30% new. So I ask three things. One, go ahead. Still listen to the podcast. Maybe you can hear the differences. Two, don't judge me for them, because I'm learning. And three, don't teach either of my grandmothers how they can find this podcast. They don't need to hear me talk this way. Hi, everybody. Welcome to your 2019 episode of Broadway Breakdown. I am the one, possibly the only, Matt Koplik.
I thought you were going to say you were the one, possibly only host, and I was going to say I agree.
Fair! Fair!
You more or less host this podcast every week, and I'm just the guest, because I have no clue what's going on.
You're the one that's quotable, and I'm the one that just makes you show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about...
Well, with that intro, I am here, John Wiscabbett.
We're recording from a new location this week.
We are a sound studio on the Fox lot. We are here right next to the Good Doctor. Is that even on Fox? I don't know.
I was going to make a Smash reference and say we were doing the 20th Century Fox Mambo.
Oh my god.
20th Century Fox Mambo ba-ba-da, with West End star Catherine McPhee.
I know.
Bitch is going to be a Londoner.
I feel like she'll do well there because it's a cold country.
And they're used to thin singers, so it's fine.
They're used to what?
Thin singers.
So are we over...
No, not like skinny. I mean like voices being thin.
Oh.
Sorry, I should have said voices. That was my faux pas, everyone. Sorry. Sorry, everybody.
I was about to go on a whole diatribe about how, Matt, I don't know what kind of body shaming 2019 you're trying to begin, but I am not here for it, and I just don't even want to be an audience member.
John, that soapbox is 2 inches tall.
But we are here in Sunnyside, Queens, to bring it back to what I was trying to say. Or, no, you were trying to say it.
Wait. 2019 is starting off super great, you guys. We're 15 days in, recording this on January 15th, and it's going well. I'm seeing where John lives for the first time, and I gotta say, it all makes sense now.
Yeah, there's...
I'm used to recording from, the safety of the Upper East Side, where you can grab a taxi cab at any given moment, and I'm feeling a little more spontaneous right now.
Yeah.
Like, living on the wild side in Sunnyside.
Yeah, dragged him out to Sunnyside. He went on the 7 train for the first time? No, you had to have been on the 7 train.
I don't remember if I ever did. It was clearly
a fucking Upper East Side privilege showing AF right now.
I don't know if I've ever been on the 7 train, actually.
No. I think I have. The only train that I know... Sorry. I just... The only...
I also really enjoyed your full-scale warm-up of the only train I know. The only train I know. Mm-hmm. The train.
She has a BFA, hunty.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top.
Anywho, enough of this bullshit, John. Let's do a quick check-in on our 2019s. How have you been?
I have been just so stressed and so busy and so tired and so unemployed. How have you been?
But what's making you so stressed and busy with no...
Well, I'm unemployed as an actor currently, but one of the things that I wanted to do when I got back from that contract from Forum was to not go on unemployment, which I normally do as an actor. Normally when I'm finished with a contract, I go on unemployment. That's something not a lot of actors talk about as an option for doing, but it's actually really wonderful. A lot of people do it. We pay for it while we're working. You know, we pay for our unemployment insurance. So, but this time I kind of wanted to shake it up, TBH. I wanted to not do what I normally do. And I had this thought that... maybe if I remain incredibly busy... kind of the antithesis of what I've been working on in therapy for the last 2 years of not making my life crazier, but just making my life absolutely cuckoo bananas insane, that I could just cut my seasonal affective disorder off at the pass and not have to deal with sadness.
John just said that last sentence while doing the robot.
And I did.
It was quite gorgeous. I love that for you. I love that journey to the past.
Yeah.
Journey to the future.
It's oddly kind of working. Like, I'm not sad. I'm tired and drained and my body hurts. But,
You just described pride, but otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm back. I'm auditioning. It's so hard not to immediately go into that place of day one unemployment. I am never going to work again. And I spent all the weeks leading up to my first day off of like actor unemployment being very confident in the fact that I would not let that that wonderful little bit of insecurity take over my life. And let me tell you, as soon as that contract ends, bitch, my brain is just immediately turns into that nightmare sequence in The Princess Bride where that beggar woman is yelling at the princess and goes, "Boo, the queen of garbage, the queen of filth." Like, immediately that is what my brain turns into. I've been trying to not feel that way. And what I've realized is that I cannot stop how I'm going to feel or all those things, but I can choose to not let them inform my choices / not let it cause anxiety to take over my whole goddamn life. That's been a big part of my journey in 2019 in these 15 days. I also had a really great moment where I was traveling back from this contract, and while in the world's worst layover on New Year's Eve, I chipped a tooth on a Dunkin' Donuts croissant bacon egg and cheese sandwich.
How?
At an airport in Houston.
Was it still frozen or something?
No, I'm just a really dumb bitch. It was my fault.
Wait, but croissants are soft. And...
I see you trying to make sense of me, baby. And I'm going to tell you what I've told every person I've ever met. Let's not go down that road.
Sorry. Oh, God.
Yeah, no, so I was about to get on a plane, my connecting flight. I had a 2.5-hour flight from Florida. I was up from 4 a.m., hopped on a plane, had a 2.5-hour layover for no reason, and then got on a plane to New York. And right before I got on the plane to New York, I chipped a tooth. And so...
God bless that.
It was just... It was an amazing way to start the new year. Because I could go into the whole story about how as soon as I landed, I got in an Uber, went to the New York School of Dentistry, tried to get seen so that I didn't have to spend the new year getting into having a chipped tooth. And I literally walked in and the security guard just shook his head and said, "No one's here, man." And I didn't cry. I can say that with a straight face. But yeah, the kind of the fates took hold of my body as soon as this contract ended and said, "Hey, life's hard, bitch, but you're going to get through it like you always do."
Yeah.
And so I'm here, and I maybe only have a week left in me until I have to check myself into a mental home, but that's a week I'm going to fight for. How are you?
Well, now I'm doing a mental checklist of all the potential co-host for this
podcast. Start looking.
Yeah, I gotta start looking. No, you gotta stay sane for a little bit while longer. Well, because we have Broadway producer Lucas McMahon joining us at some point on this podcast. Not today, but you know, something like
that. And he's right here.
He's right here, hey Lucas.
Oh my God.
Yeah, if you want to avoid seasonal affective disorder, is that what it's called?
Yeah, sad.
Sad. Yeah. If you want to avoid that, avoid the Broadway credits Lucas has as a producer while also remembering that he's 28. He's produced Something Rotten, Hand to God. I think he's producing the new one by Mike Birbiglia. And he's only 28 years old, so...
Good. Good. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, we're so happy for him. We can't wait to have him on because he's going to teach us the secrets.
Please do. Teach me everything, Lucas. I want to be you. Do you think he'll let me touch his blood?
Maybe. He's a ginge. I mean, he's got plenty to spare.
Yeah. They have a lot of blood. Everyone knows. That's a fact.
They do. Anyway, so I'm fine. To answer your question.
2019 and feeling 2019. That's just our motto.
I'm going to punch you in the face later.
Just do it.
No, I'm okay. I made some big life decisions for myself, which I informed you of briefly, but I'll inform our listeners now.
Yeah.
I made the brave decision to leave my day job.
I'm applauding.
Yeah, John is literally applauding right now. I feel so hashtag Cerebrellus brave. Yeah. I'm being so brave. Yeah. It's a job that I've had for a long time. So it's been steady, good money, but the last 6 months have been really sort of taking over my life. And 2019 is a year where I have a lot of possible opportunities that I can make for myself that I can't do if I still have that on the burner.
Yeah.
So I'm not a dummy. Like, I have some money tucked away that I can afford to do that while I go about.
Yeah, of course.
If I ever get desperate, you know, Greenwich Village is calling my name.
Always Craigslist.
Yeah, there's always Craigslist. No, Craigslist doesn't do the personal stuff anymore.
You just gotta look for him.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top.
Yeah, let's talk about talkics.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do talk
what
about...
Did you hear what I did there?
I did. Talk about talkics, cockics.
It's harder than it sounds to say.
This is a great day to be alive, everybody. Yeah, so let's get into some Broadway, as this is Broadway Breakdown.
Yeah, we are actually filming on quite a sad day in musical theater history.
Yeah.
Do you not... know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I was letting you continue.
Oh, okay. Well, now I feel awkward.
John is very upset that there's now going to be a female Olaf. That is the sad thing that he was talking about.
I'm very excited about that. I also knew it was happening way before it was announced, so like, whatever. But today we say farewell to Broadway legend, throaty singer extraordinaire, comic Beatrice to the gods, and now literally to God.
To God. The closest we ever had to proof that Roger from American Dad existed on this earth. Miss Carol Channing, So Long Dearie.
Yeah.
Original Dolly Levi. Lorelei Lee in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And not creator, but inhabitor of the great quote, Raspberries.
Yes.
In the Thoroughly Modern Millie movie.
Yes.
Those of you who thought that Muzzy Von Hasmir was just Shirley Ralph.
No.
Y'all are wrong.
No.
No. Carol got there first.
Yeah. I remember that.
Also, the voice in Thumbelina who goes, "Dearie, marry the mole."
And the Alice in Wonderland, jam tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bread and butter. Jam yesterday, but never ever jam today, whatever the quote is. Obviously, big fan. No, I am. It's it just I read it today and it was just it, when I read the it was the first thing that popped up on my Facebook. First thing that I saw this morning was that Carol Channing had passed, and it just felt weird. It just she seemed well. She was such a staple. She was kind of a. I mean, what other musical theater actress do we have who's still kind of kicking? Who's 97? She's the end of an era. She's the end of a type of broad. It was her and Elaine Stritch. I mean, there's Betty White, but Betty White is still.
Honestly, when Cheetah Rivera goes, that'll be like the final chapter. But Cheetah was a very different animal than Carol Channing. Like, Carol Channing was, I think, is the last of the, like, golden age grand dame personalities.
Yeah.
The way Ethel Merman was, or an Elaine Stritch, where they performed, but there was always that giant essence of them to any role that they did.
Well, right, because, I mean, they weren't singers.
No.
You would not go to Carol Channing's 54 Below show for the fierce belting. Yeah, for her take on Kerrigan and Loudermilk's "Runaway with Me." What's the song that everyone sings that's a female? What's that song?
Oh, didn't they do that duet, that freedom?
Yeah, but there's another.
Or however that goes.
There's another. I would think of Laura Osnes singing it all the time.
Oh.
Anywho, what a great example I came up with.
You're not listening to Carol Channing's Miller Son, everybody.
Exactly. But that was their magic. That was their je ne sais quoi. That was their, they had no other option than to be who exactly they are. Or should I say, who they be are thar.
Yes.
B. Arthur? I don't know. That was such a stretch. It was so weird. In my mind, that landed so much better.
I know B. Arthur was a huge stretch.
What?
Because she had a huge dick. Anyway, no? Have you never heard, like, B. Arthur dick jokes? That was always the joke about her, though. She was truly a man. And that's not, like, shade towards anybody except for, like, B. Arthur.
Except for B. Arthur's corpse, I guess. Just talking about the
dead. No. Bitch, that woman was impenetrable. Because she was the top.
This is strictly off the record, but Dirk's nearly 5 years younger than I am.
Then what, Blanche? Dog years?
This isn't about that. This is about Carol Channing. One of my favorite stories about Carol Channing is apparently... So she infamously created Dolly Levi and then toured it across the country for
She toured it a new asshole.
Yes. I was just like...
Took you a second to get that one.
Took me a little bit. It's fine. I got there eventually. The lack of booze, man. It does things to my brain.
Do you need a drink? Do you want to just break it now?
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so Carol Channing did Dolly Levi for many, many decades. And at one point on her, like, numerous legs of the tour, I use that word appropriately right now, she apparently... broke one of her legs and did the show for weeks in a wheelchair. Like, we're talking
praise.
This woman, I think this woman has maybe missed like two performances of Dolly in her entire existence.
Blessed be the fruit.
She is of Jerry and of Gower and of Meryl. Yeah. And I know that when she didn't get the movie of Dolly, that was like a big blow to her. They went with Streisand, who's Miller's son you would listen to, but
right.
You know, is not that alien that Carol Channing was.
I honestly, now that you say that, I just kind of always assumed that Carol didn't want to do the movie. I didn't realize that she wanted to, and then they gave it to Streisand.
No, it was a full Julie Andrews, Audrey Hepburn situation. To be fair to them, I don't know if Carol Channing's performance in Hello Dolly would have translated to film the way it had on stage.
Sure.
Especially with the tone of movie they were going for, which granted was a totally wrong tone to take. They were going for like big blockbuster Cleopatra movie musical, like A Million Extras, Play It Straight, giant ass parade in the middle of the street, Barbra Streisand belting a D for 20 seconds. Carol has no business being in that world. So
that's true.
It was both the wrong choice, but also the right call at the same time. Like, I don't think that her Dolly would have been preserved as well as it had been on stage, but also Streisand was not necessarily the right choice either. Although I do listen to her versions of the songs.
I was going to say, I actually love her in that movie, but I digress.
Well, I know. Those are two different things. I love her in the movie, but she was also the wrong choice. Those two things can coexist.
Right, you're right. They're not mutually exclusive.
Yes.
So Carol Channing broke her leg while she was on tour.
Oh, that's how we got there. Yes, Carol Channing broke her leg while she was on tour. That's just a story about her that I really love.
That should actually... We're changing our name of this podcast. It's not Broadway Breakdown anymore. It's dot, dot, dot. Oh, that's how we got here.
That's how we got here. There's also the infamous corn story, which I'm sure you know.
Of course I know the corn story.
Why don't you tell that one?
I mean, I don't... I might be fucking up
You know the punchline.
Yeah, I know the punchline.
Oh, well, why don't... Then I'll do the setup and you do the punchline.
Yes. Great. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes. So, body mics were a new item in the Broadway community, everybody, starting in the early 60s. I believe Anna Marie Alberghetti was the first documented person on Broadway to have a body mic. Stop laughing at me! I know these things. I also apologize to listeners. I just screamed into the mic.
Jeez.
John was laughing at me. No, I read about this shit, and it's it's weird the stuff that sticks in my brain, you know? Like,
yeah.
I couldn't name all 50 states in under a minute, but I could tell you that Anna Maria Alberghetti had the first body mic of a lead role in a Broadway show. Anywho.
It makes sense.
But like with all new technology, it takes a while to get the kinks out. We're still, like, kind of figuring it out today. There was a performance of Hello, Dolly, apparently, where Carol was not on stage, but she was one of the few performers that had a body mic.
Sure.
And there's a scene where one of the other leads had to speak and their mic wasn't going on. And, you know, they turned on the body mic and no sound was coming out through the speakers. And they thought maybe her mic was broken until they heard from off stage.
I don't remember eating corn.
Apparently Carol's mic had been turned on while she was doing some business. And it played during a scene that she was not in. So that's, if ever there was a metaphor for Carol Channing's stage presence.
But is it confirmed? That's what I always wonder.
I don't know.
It's such an old, it's one of those theater old wives' tales that are so fucking iconic.
Mm-hmm.
There's that one and then the other one. And I have heard this wives' tale so many incarnations of it, so many people who claim that, oh, it's my friend that this happened to, or they were in this production. But I'm sure all I have to do is say the punchline of this one and you would have heard it too. Maybe we've even talked about it.
Maybe.
The West Side Story with the poison boot.
No.
You haven't heard of this?
No, but I heard the... Elaine Stritch used to tell a story about a Broadway play that was similar, where a character was supposed to shoot another character underneath the table, but the prop didn't go off, and so took some jam from the table and said, I'm throwing this poison jam at you.
Yeah, it's basically that, but it's that someone forgot to bring on the gun, and so Maria had to do the whole Chino speech without...
Without a gun.
A gun? Or wait, was it her or it was... Who gets shot in it?
Tony.
But who shoots him?
Chino. And then she says, give me the gun. How many bullets are
left
in this gun?
Yes, that's it. So Chino didn't bring on the gun.
Uh-huh.
Took off a shoe. Screamed poison shoe or poison boot. Hit Tony with it. He died. And then Maria had to do the Chino speech.
How much poison is left in this boot?
And you've never heard this?
No! Listeners,
have you heard this? I literally have heard this story told dozens of times from people who claim to know someone, where finally I just said, I think of the wife's tale. And I'm pretty sure now there are blogs dedicated to debunking or to at least highlighting the fact that it's a wife's tale.
Yeah. The problem, things like that are probably wives' tales. if you cannot give me the specific, like, theater or the production or the person who did it, like, I don't believe it. Carol Channing, I don't know if it was, like, tour or if it was Broadway, but it was specifically her and it was specifically Dolly that happened. So I'm a little more inclined to believe it. I also just, I feel like she would say that. She was a total alien. If you ever read her interview in the book Nothing Like a Dame, I think Eddie Shapiro is the interviewer. It's a little bonkers, and part of it is due to her old age. And so I'm not, like, trying to throw a dark comedic light on a person's age, but it was interesting that she would kind of go in and out of coherence. And when she had a moment of coherence, the way she described herself and her career was in a way that I was like, okay, are you aware of the career that you've had? Because she would talk about, like, the crafts and all that, and that's all well and good, but then he'd say, well, what do you think about these drag queens who dress up as you for Halloween? She goes, well, they're doing the character, they're not doing me. You're doing Dolly Levi, you're not doing Carol Channing. It was like, they're doing Carol Channing.
Yeah.
And she talked about, she found out that she was, like, 1/15th African American.
Sure.
And she goes, and I suppose that's where I get my great musical talent from. And I'm like, hey, oh, no. Valentina in the Snatch Game, Jasmine Masters in the talent show. Like, you can know who you are and what you bring to the table. But as we said, like, love her or hate her, you always have to understand that Carol Channing is not, like, musically inclined. She's just very different.
Yeah.
So that was something that I read that I was like, okay, Beatrice.
Yeah. Well, all that being said, rest in peace.
No. Let's go back to some positive moment. Just me referring to, like, I totally believe the corn story because she seems like somebody who has no filter in that regard and just, like, doesn't understand.
Got it.
That, like, yeah, some things are maybe not on the table for discussion, like you not remembering that you ate corn. And I hope that if you have any questions as to what this corn is referring to, we're not going to explain it.
Sometimes when two adults love each other.
Mm-hmm, and have a really big meal with corn.
What?
No. So this is to say, she is a legend. She'll always be a legend. I'm very happy that the Broadway League decided immediately they were dimming the lights. There were no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yeah. Every single theater, every single light. Yeah.
Rest in peace, girl. I hope those angels are performing the Waiter's Gallop for you right now.
I saw that status on the F book today.
I know, but in case anyone does not follow me on social media, that's what I said, and I thought it was clever, so I am repeating it.
Okay.
What's next? Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
I stand for motherhood, America, and a hot lunch for orphans.
Take another big thing that happened this week. First, Black Glinda flew down in the bubble on the Broadway stage.
Brittany
Johnson, yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And just how thrilling and amazing that is for representation.
Totally.
I will caveat that with 15 years to get that representation.
Yeah.
Not that I'm poo-pooing anyone or saying it all, trying to turn it a negative spin, but I will say hopefully the next big show doesn't take 15 years.
Yeah, I think that's more a testament to the limitations on even the greatest of creative minds.
Because
it's hard to sometimes break the mold when it's been the mold for so long. I think this is great casting.
Yeah.
I listened to some audio of her that was legal, quote unquote. That she wasn't compensated for it. She sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And I hope that it perpetuates more.
My hat is off to casting directors who are, I mean, you can tell that they are just really pushing for this to, like, for more representation on Broadway to creative teams. And my hat's off to them. My hat's off to Telsey, because actually now that I'm thinking about it, Telsey casts most of these shows.
They cast
Wicked, they cast Frozen.
Yeah.
And so kudos, you guys. Keep up the great work. I know you've been waiting to get my approval for a long time, and here it is.
We're sweet proud of you. Now go run along and have some Kool-Aid. It's all very exciting.
We keep, as we're staring at each other from across my living room, We're very gassy, I guess, because we just like chowed down. He got here way earlier than he said he was going to, and I had half a steak hanging out of my mouth, but he had a Chipotle burrito baby in his hand. So we just sat down and chowed down our food really quickly. But that means that now, as we keep staring at each other from across the room, we keep just really effortlessly, kind of nightclub chic-ishly, pulling the microphone away from our mouths to burp.
Yeah, that was beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be super proud of yourself. I know I am.
Yeah, me too. This is what we... Broadway is creating more representation on the stage, and we're burping in Sunnyside, Queens.
Yeah.
God works in mysterious ways.
God works in the most mysterious of ways.
Won't he do it?
Don't she? Ain't she blessed? Moving on into the theater world.
There's more?
There's more, because yours truly saw some theater.
I forgot about that.
We saw theater this week, Hunty.
What did you say?
I saw Tequila Mockingbird.
What?
Not the drag queen, but Tequila Mockingbird. I was trying to do the play on words, like tequila, like the drink, Mockingbird.
But I thought you were... Who's the author who has a book that... He's a very funny theater author. He was a book writer, and he has a book called Tequila Mockingbird, and my... brain automatically went to, oh, he has a one-man show of his book now?
No. I think I saw that book in your home.
It's here somewhere.
Yeah. No.
This apartment kind of looks like the Beauty and the Beast library. There's books everywhere.
Yeah.
I have a young French girl hostage with Stockholm Syndrome.
She doesn't have Stockholm Syndrome, everybody. That's a weak internet joke. But then again, this is John we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm literally just trying to recreate every meme I've ever seen.
It's true. I was going to say, I'm giving you Belle Ingenue realness, but I guess John's not feeling it.
She doesn't drink for 10 days and suddenly she's a Disney princess and not a big whore.
My skin is glowing like a princess.
She's glowing from getting freshly dick smacked by a teenage.
That's going to run a punchline I have later.
I have a planned punchline. What kind of podcast do you think this is? Okay, so apparently
I saw To Kill a Mockingbird last week, and I also saw The Ferryman on Saturday. The Ferryman.
Honey, you're looking at The Ferryman right now.
But
I'm doing the Trixie Mattel RuPaul
Lady Bunny.
Oh honey. I'm doing the head wiggles.
You are.
All right. Wow, those are two great pieces.
They
from
are.
What I heard.
Then I was rewarded for my dramatic vegetables by getting to see Kelly O'Hara and Seth Rudetsky in concert last night in Town Hall, where she belted for the first time in like 10 years.
And I just posted a video of her on my Instagram of her belting in the national tour of Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes, I saw that. She sounded ferocious.
She did sound ferocious. I had never heard her belt like that. She belted a C. My God.
She talked about that actually at the concert. She said she spilled some tea at this concert about like her career and people who she was pitted up against for other roles. And she said Jekyll and Hyde was... She was belting in an unhealthy way because she never really belted before. Mm. And she thought, like, Frank Wildhorn, I got a belt. And her voice teacher at the time came to see it on tour. And he was like, okay, like, if this is what you want to do, let's figure out how to do this correctly.
Mm.
And so she was able to do it better for other shows. But she belted some South Pacific last night. She belted a little more Do I Need.
I loved her in South Pacific.
She was great. Speaking of which, the tea that I heard... So when that show was coming to Broadway, it was like everyone and their mother was rumored to be Nellie Forbush.
Sure.
And when she got cast, everyone was like, oh, of course, because she did Light of the Piazza, Bar Chair. Funny story. So Kelly O'Hara was not the original Clara in Light of the Piazza.
Right.
For those of you who
Celia Keenan-Bolger.
Celia Keenan-Bolger, who was wonderful in To Kill a Mockingbird, was the original Clara. Victoria Clark was Margaret Gray Johnson, infamously. And then I always thought that Celia got exchanged for Kelly O'Hara. But apparently when they left Chicago, there was this sort of gray area. Nobody really knew what was going to happen with the show. And by the time it got confirmed for Broadway, Celia took Spelling Bee at second stage, which was all but guaranteed to come to Broadway. So last second, Kelly O'Hara became Clara. And then South Pacific rolls around and she's at the final callback. And who's in the waiting room with her? But Celia Keenan-Bolger and Victoria Clark. And it was like Father, Son, Holy Ghost in the waiting room. And I did not know that before, that they were the final.
Victoria Clark was up for...
Nellie Forbush. Apparently, they did not have an Emile Zabek locked down yet. They had a couple of options. And it literally... And Bart Scherer told them that it was just a matter of who the Emile was that they got. because if it was a much older meal, it was probably going to be Victoria Clark and so on and so forth. And when they finally got Paula Schott, they like brought each one of them in to sort of see how they read against him.
And I'm so glad Paula Schott got it, just because whenever I am sad, I think about Liza Minnelli announcing his Tony Award win and her just going, Paula Schott! It's just the way she says it is up right up there with Bernadette Peters.
Kinky Boots! And the winner is Kinky Boots!
Gladiator!
Exactly, Gladiator!
Gladiator!
The Elizabeth Taylor Gladiator. Those are iconic announcements to me.
Oh, absolutely.
So, that's really interesting, though. I would not have thought of Victoria Clark in that role.
Neither would I. I'm sure she would have been great.
Same,
but it's all just three very different women for that role, which sort of tells you how Bart Scheer casts. I think sometimes he doesn't have a clear image of what he wants. He just gets actors he likes and respects and then sees what they bring to it.
Yeah.
And then goes from there. I also found out Kelly O'Hara was not the first choice for Babe in Pajama Game. She was supposed to be Mary Stuart Masterson, who had just come off of doing 9 for Roundabout. She was My Husband, makes movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She also did Some Kind of Wonderful. And Kelly O'Hara said at the final callbacks it was her, Mary Stuart Masterson, and Molly Ringwald for Babe. Wild.
Who I saw on the national tour of Sweet Charity.
I heard things about that tour. Did you enjoy it?
I did.
Oh, good. Good, 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 good. I didn't know where we were going with that for a second.
I mean, I don't know if I enjoyed it for all the right reasons.
Oh, that's sad.
But I enjoyed it. And also, it was just cool to see Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, she's a...
Sometimes someone doesn't have to be good. Sometimes it's just cool to see him.
Absolutely. Lady in Red.
That's crazy. I did not know that she was not up, that she was not originally up for Babe as well.
She got it eventually because Mary Stuart Masterson left. She was like, I can't do this. This isn't like, I'm not the right person for this, and dropped out. And that made Kelly O'Hara go in. I also found out Kelly O'Hara was originally offered to be the understudy for Kathy in the out-of-town tryout for the last 5 years.
That is bizarre.
Isn't it? And she said this is like, she's like, I'm not quite sure why I was offered it, because Jason Robert Brown wasn't like happy with the way she sang the score.
Right.
Because like she's a soprano.
Right. And newsflash, it's a sung through score.
Yeah. And Kathy belts, bitch.
Yeah.
But like, can you imagine if Kelly O'Hara had been a part of the last 5 years? What a different show that would be.
I kind of can't imagine it. That one is the most surprising to me. What a great little tidbit of information you had discovered.
Thank you. Such tea. And then that was all my just dessert from seeing two really phenomenal plays, To Kill a Mockingbird, which was both a wonderful dramatization of the play, but also a modern analysis of the book. A dramatization of the book, and then also a great modern analysis of the book.
Oh, cool.
Aaron Sorkin has added some stuff to it that doesn't go against the original material, but it's just sort of very necessary. To put it bluntly, there are 3 or 4 added scenes with Calpurnia the Maid that are, of course, are not historically accurate, but are very necessary in this modern age for a modern audience to watch this story about racism in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, still be able to kind of absorb it. She's like she's the character in the play that stands in for the audience, that kind of questions Atticus a lot and his demeanor and his outlook. Because, you know, his whole outlook is walk a day in a man's shoes, know what a man has to deal with before anything else. And part of that is true, but then there are also just really awful, evil people out there.
Yeah, and me.
Yeah, including John. Yeah. And, you know, Calpurnia's the one who kind of challenges him on that. Like, yeah, no, it's great that you want to give men, you know, equal time, but some people are dicks.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't know how unjust people can be because you are a white man. She's like, I'm a black woman. I really see the brunt of it. You don't get it. And it's a fair point. And you get to sort of see that inner struggle with Atticus, and it's beautiful. Like I said, Celia Keenan-Bolger is wonderful as Scout.
So here's the funny thing. I didn't know until a couple weeks ago that she was playing Scout. And I'm sure she's amazing.
Yeah.
But two, I had a good belly laugh just because Celia Keenan-Bolger in the next decade is going to play a fetus. We just keep casting her younger every year.
She's cornered the market on 40-year-old women playing children.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's just dreams. It is college BFA program, the short girl's going to play the 9-year-old dreams.
Yeah.
And it's literally, I cannot wait for her in the next revival of The Ferryman to play the baby. I haven't seen The Ferryman, but I know there are babies in it.
You know there's also a goose in it, right? There's a goose and there's a bunny.
Do you think maybe I could be like the goose understudy?
I mean, yeah, you could, because that goose is a fucking whore for applause just like you.
Well.
Yeah. So, okay, The Ferryman. I'm not going to go into The Ferryman very long because it is a 3-hour, 15-minute play.
Short one, yeah.
Yeah. So I described The Ferryman to a couple of different people the same way who had all seen it. And I was like, when I tell you this is how I responded to the show, doesn't make sense. And each person who saw it said yes. And it is thus. The Ferryman makes you ride it long and dirty for 3 hours, and then in the last 10 minutes, cock whips you hard and throws you onto the street with nothing but cab fare and a shattered existence.
I see where you had the dick-slapping punchline earlier.
Yeah.
And I see how you can think that might be, like, maybe I was throwing a wrench into your plan.
Well, you are on
top.
But
now it just feels like it's a callback reference.
Yeah. We are slowly just trying to turn this podcast into RuPaul's Drag Race.
True. Here's the cool thing about The Ferryman. That sounds... I would like to see that. I still don't know what it's about. I for all I know, The Ferryman is a Wicked type prequel to The Fairly Odd Parents.
It could be.
You know, I really don't, I have no clue. And to be honest, I kind of don't want to have a clue in case I do see it, because I've heard, so you liked it, right?
I did. Thoroughly liked it.
Because from what I've heard from people's responses to it, it sounds like the kind of shit I eat up.
It is a truly wonderful play with phenomenal acting in it. Oh my God, is the acting good? The kids in that show are also really great.
Yeah.
There is a 9-year-old girl in that show who steals every scene she is in. And not in like a I'm a cute child actor kind of way, in a she's actually good way. And they have a goose in it who comes on for one scene and is such a whore for the applause of that audience. Like that goose has now officially been in that show for so long it knows. Like I have to imagine it understands the audio, you know, like sunk into it or whatever.
I think you're giving this goose a lot of credit.
No, I know. I swear when you see it, I swear to God it will make sense, because it comes on and just quacks the entire time. And then stops for a line that gets a major laugh, and then starts quacking again, and then stops for another line that gets a major laugh, and then holds still, and then they have a line where they go, oh, let's wring its neck. And this goose doesn't know what they're saying, but this goose now knows that it's its exit, and acts the shit out of, we're going to wring its neck. Wah, wah, wah. It knew exactly what it was doing.
I agree with that.
That bitch.
But I cannot believe that I'm about to have to explain to you that there are these people called animal trainers
who
train animals to, I don't know, for example, quack on cue. For
bitch example, is not quacking on cue.
Stop quacking on cue.
That bitch is not for quacking
example,
on cue.
Learning when to run away.
Are you trying to inform me that all the Sandys and Annie did not just come right off the street?
Oh, God. I hate to always have to be this person in everyone I know's life. No.
Okay.
I'm not telling you that.
Okay. I'm aware of what animal handlers are, John. I'm telling you this goose is a scene-stealing bitch. That's.
I would love to get this goose on the podcast.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top.
I don't know if I like recording in the same room as you.
No,
I feel unsafe.
No, the only time it ever worked was when we had invited guests or
alcohol.
Booze. Yeah. So that in the next episode, we got to have a guest.
Next time, we got to get your cough serum.
I'm looking forward to the next time we record. John's going to look at my face and go, oh, you're drinking again.
Next time we record, we're doing Molly.
Ringwald.
Yes. Oh, is that why they call it Molly?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Maybe. I don't know.
No, I'm sure.
That drug has a whole other connotation.
I don't know. I don't know about things.
No, you know nothing.
Yeah.
What does the Constitution mean to you?
It means that it's coming to Broadway. I've heard it's a great show. Did you see it?
I didn't. I know nothing about it.
I know a couple of people who have seen it. I've heard it's a really wonderful show.
It's the season of plays.
Yeah, listeners, that's another piece of news. So now we just informed you of something.
You heard it here first. This is the only place that has real news, real tea, real news, unfiltered, raw.
I miss talking about geese. I do. I just
miss
one
goose in particular, one raging bitch of a goose.
One goose. One special goose, one goose to live forever and ever. One goose.
Good job, we're cutting that down. No, I can't.
No, you have to keep. If you cut that, Matt Koplik,
I'm not cutting it. I was.
Do they
saying...
know your last name? Oh yeah, you say it all the time.
I am now lying down on my back on John's couch because I am done. I am spent. The goose has been cooked.
what a good joke.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think of other musical theater songs that I could, because...
What party?
I'm sad, so I'm going to tell a story about when I was employed. When I did Forum, one of the cast members used to wait until literally right before his first entrance in the opening number of Comedy Tonight to put on his pants. And so he would walk around with kind of his protean tunic on, mm-hmm. and he looked a lot like Dobby. And so we would call him Dobby. And so for weeks, all of our cast of Forum played this game about turning musical theater titles into Dobby. And so it would be, "Hello, Dobby. The last five Dobbies. Once upon a Dobby."
I used to do the exact same thing, but with Queef.
Yeah. And so we played that game. But now I want to play it with geese.
Geese. I gotta say, Queef. I mean, Queef is like a really funny word to me. And so it worked for a lot of things. Instead of anyone can whistle, anyone can queef.
Well, that's just a fact.
On a clear day, you can queef forever.
Yeah. Stop queef. I want to get off.
Yeah, no. A lot of good stuff there.
The queef of Mormon.
Yeah. The queef of La Mancha.
Well, these are just failed tangents that if they don't get on the cutting room floor...
You're welcome.
We've done a great job. I'm beginning to get a sense that it's time to end this episode.
Yes. I was going to say the exact same thing. Oh no. Okay. I don't even know how to get into this.
If we do this episode and you don't find the file, you'll probably have to do a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode.
Which I absolutely will do.
Which you will do. And so actually at this point, we can just say, so this is the moment that we realized that the issue happened with the microphones. So for the last 20 seconds of this episode...
You get to hear us both speak at normal volume
there
levels.
There she is. There you are, Peter.
What?
Oh,
sorry. I was thinking Ariel for a second. Ariel, it was you the whole time. Eric, I wanted to tell you, Little Mermaid, look it up. Because I found my voice, maybe.
You did find your voice.
I did find my voice. So if we do end up using this episode, sorry about the hours worth of content where volume is odd. It's the best we could do.
And you're welcome that you could hear me clear as a bell because...
Yeah. Maybe it's like a bonus at the end of this episode. I will include the audio of where John recorded... where my GarageBand completely just shut down.
Oh yeah, that could be a fun little like tag for those real listeners.
It's full Blair Witch Project.
My God, it's real drama.
You hear me freak the fuck out.
Yeah, it's cute.
Anywho, so as we wrap this up, subscribe to the podcast, I guess. Ugh. Rank us.
Subscribe to our podcast, which is not a mess.
No, please give us some 5-star reviews only because
you feel bad for us.
You feel bad. Please feel bad. John and I just had a lovely evening that just got ruined, and I need something good in 2019, guys. We got two new reviews, one from a Miss .. question mark that just the title says I love it, and then the review itself said yes.
Matt, I said this was going to be 20 seconds, and now you're reading reviews. I think you just feel... I think you're just upset, and so you want to talk more.
Just a little bit longer. No, it's fine. We'll make it 90 seconds tops.
it's been like 3 minutes.
Whatever. I don't fucking care anymore. Die. Anywho, let's wrap this motherfucker up with our great diva for the week or month or whatever. I think there's only one true option.
Yeah, I think so too.
LaShawn's.
The goose from The Ferryman.
No, a combination of the two. A combination of LaShawn's and the goose from Ferryman is Carol.
The late Carol Channing. Rest in peace, baby.
Absolutely. So long, dearie. Thank you guys for sticking with the episode.
Yeah.
And look forward to next time when we have a buffer, which will be our guest, and my garage band will not fucking quit on me. All right. Bye.
Go with God.
Go with God.
When the whistle blows and the cymbals crash and the sparklers light the sky, I'm gonna raise the roof. I'm gonna carry on. Give me an old trombone. Give me an old baton before the parade passes by.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.